We teach our children at a very young age, at least we do in this country, and I think generally most countries do this, although it's not a universal language. We teach our children to say please and thank you. And the way we typically do that is when we don't hear them say please and thank you, we may ask them a question. Well, how do you ask? And that is to elicit the response of please. And then if the correct response is not given, we say, what do you say? And typically they say, thank you. And that sometimes takes some practice. That doesn't come easy. But all of us use, I think all of us, at least in my judgment, should use common courtesy. And those are probably the two most common phrases that we use to think about common courtesy, please and thank you. They're fairly benign terms if you stop and think about it, but yet they carry a whole lot of weight. The etymology of the words is quite interesting. The idea of please is really the idea of if you please, or if it pleases you, would you do certain things? And it carries the idea of you are not obligated. Although when somebody says, ask us if we'll do something, and then they say, please, we usually feel some obligation to do that. It usually follows or is before some type of command. You ever thought about that? When we're commanding people to do something, we say, please, like pass the salt, please. Or I guess a more healthy term would be pass the celery, please. But the issue is, or please be quiet. We identify the phrase by somehow making it less serious, making the command less serious by saying in a polite way, please. And I think that is a good thing for us to do. I like that. I think please and thank you makes relationships better, no matter what relationship I'm in. But if you say please and thank you, it helps. And if you don't say please and thank you, may I just offer a little personal advice to you? That'd be a good thing to start doing on a regular basis, is saying please and thank you. The idea of thank you is quite interesting. It carries the idea of not so much thank, but the idea of think. And I want you to think about the idea of thank. It really is a form of saying when you thank a person, you're thinking about them and about what they have done, usually for you. That's how we respond to someone who's done something for us. We say, thank you, because we are, in essence, thinking of them. And so that is a little background to identify why we would commonly say and courteously say, please and thank you. And thanksgiving carries with it that idea. And I'm not talking about the thanksgiving that we think of as Thursgiving. I'm talking about the thanksgiving that we are asking, or that God is asking us to have in our hearts and in our lives, which is an expression that we should say, that we should feel, because we have thought about God. And I want to share that idea with you tonight as we really think about that. And I think it carries with it some pretty important things for us to consider. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Paul says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Now, we probably read over that. That's in that series of short statements in 1 Thessalonians 5. That's in that pray without ceasing area, and that's rejoice always area. And it's those little short, in essence, I suppose they're kind of pithy statements that are just almost, it look like a list of things. And in that he says that we are in everything give thanks. And I don't know that as we've read that, we thought maybe as carefully about that as we should. Listen to it again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. In everything give thanks. Well, that's what he says. And he says that's the will of God for you to exercise that. To exercise that kind of thinking about thanking God for the things that he has done for you. And so I want to ask this question tonight, and again, I'm thinking about the term in terms of the biblical way we use thanksgiving, what we offer to God. Why is that important? I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea of what we do, what we're doing when we talk about thanksgiving, when we thank God. I listened tonight specifically in Kyle's prayer because I was going to preach this lesson. I thought about specifically how many times he used terms that were thanksgiving terms, or we thank you, or we appreciate this, or things that would lend itself to us thinking about what God has done for us. And there were several times in that prayer, in each of those, many of those sections that he gave in the prayer, that where he used that term of thanksgiving. And really, it helped solidify in my mind the main thing that I want to get across to each of us tonight is that when we thank God for certain things, we are thinking about God in certain ways. How do we magnify God? Psalm 69:30 says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. As I get older, you know, when I was younger, I'd go into homes of older people, and I'd see magnifying glasses, and I'd think, what in the world? Now, what do you need a magnifying? I mean, you put that magnifying glass in front of a newspaper, you know, one letter's that big. And I thought, why do you have that? And now I know. I understand. I get that, you know, because I have these. People call them readers. Greg's are bigger than mine. I guess he needs a little bit more than I do. But anyway, these are readers, and we have to have these so that we can read. If I didn't have these, this would be a really short sermon. So I guess you're saying lose them. But if I didn't have them, I couldn't read anything. Because they magnify things. Readers magnify. And magnifying glasses magnify things. And when we look up in the stars, we look at it typically. We can't, I wouldn't say typically, but we could look at it through a telescope. And what a telescope does, among many things, is it magnifies what we are looking at. Now, if you look at the stars, we think they're pretty, but when we just look at the stars during the nighttime and we see those, that really doesn't tell us. I mean, as a matter of fact, we can't see much at all. Matter of fact, Beth and I were on our deck the other night, and we were looking at stars, and she said, you know, you can see that better if you look away from it. And I thought to myself, well, how stupid is that? And then I did it. And that was exactly right. Now, y'all, you're going, you didn't know that, Kenny? It's like that Geico commercial. Everybody knows that. I didn't know that. Okay? I didn't know that. So I kept looking away, and every time I looked away, I saw it better. Now, I looked back at it, and I couldn't see it. But the point is that if I put a telescope on a star or in that vicinity, those things would magnify. What appears to be insignificant at first becomes very significant. Now, I don't know if through a magnifier or through a telescope, I don't think that if I looked at a star, I could tell it's a ball of fire that's usually many times larger than even our own planet. I don't think I could tell that, but it would look differently than it does just to the natural eye. And so, while looking at the stars is not insignificant, when I magnify them, at least in theory, I have a greater appreciation for those things. And the psalmist says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. Now that seems interesting to me. To magnify God is really the idea that I am looking at Him in a way that offers something more significant about Him to me if I'm doing that. And I think that's what the psalmist does. It allows us to see God in a way that we don't easily see Him. Take your New Testaments, if you will, and turn over to the first chapter of the book of Romans. As I was thinking about this particular passage, there are several things in here that I could read. And I think I'm just going to take an opportunity to read several places in here. But you're familiar with some of these. Let me start in verse 20. And let's just read for a minute. But I'd like for you to follow me if you would. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now notice verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And then it talks about obviously what happens throughout all, when a person changes the natural course. You're familiar with that passage, and I'm not going to take the time to read that. But I do want you to look, moving on over later, in verse 28 of this same chapter. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. And he goes on to talk about other things that they do when they don't have God in their knowledge. Now, I don't know that it's altogether the same idea. I think the Thanksgiving idea is not exactly don't have God in your knowledge. But it does say I'm not expressing to God the kind of thanksgiving that makes me think about Him on a regular basis. That's why in verse 20 he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify. I want you to insert the word for the idea. Instead of glorify, insert magnify. I think it carries with it. It's not the same thing. They're not synonymous terms. But it carries with it an idea that I think is mutual to both. Because he says, they do not glorify or magnify Him as God, nor were thankful. I think that connects. When you are trying to magnify God, you become thankful to Him. You see Him in a way that others don't see Him. And I'll tell you what, when you don't see Him the way that He intends for you to see Him, you'll do a lot of things that otherwise you might not do. That's what He's talking about here. They didn't retain God in their knowledge. They didn't have God in their knowledge. They weren't thinking about God. They weren't thinking about Him in the way that He wanted. And so that allowed them to do certain things because they did not have God in their minds. They lived that debased life and they were doing all of these things that He identifies here. And that's what happens, at least in part, when you don't identify God. When we become blind to God, we're not thankful. That's why thinking about God is important. That's why, even though it's fairly commonplace, that's why when we offer collective prayers or private prayers, that's why it's important for us to always thank God, because we're thinking about what He does. I don't know in those prayers, because they are so commonplace, I don't know if you just don't think about them. I don't know if I just casually let that slip by and don't really acknowledge what a prayer, a public prayer, is saying about God. But when, as was the case tonight, when Kyle thanked God for certain things, tonight it made me think, okay, God really has His hand in that. And I'm thinking about thanking Him for that. That's the idea. That's why thinking about things relate to God, and that's why it's so important to think about things that relate to Him. So the same is true about how we view others and things. We thank God for our families. One of the great things that the Thanksgiving in this country provides for us, it gives us opportunity, usually, to either be with family or to think about family in a more specific way. That's a good thing. Because when I'm thinking about my family, I'm appreciating my family more. You know, Beth and I live here now. Our children don't. All three of our children presently are living in Tampa. And I think about them. And when I think about them, I'm thankful for them. But now that Jenny's home and Samuel's on his way home, once I see them, okay, and then later in the week when Bradley comes home and I see them, I have an opportunity to be even more thankful because I'm seeing them. I'm not just thinking about them. I'm seeing them, and it gives me reason to be more thankful for them. Not that I shouldn't be when I don't see them, but because I'm eyeing them. And when we look at God, and when we see God, I'm not talking about see Him directly, but I'm talking about see the things that He does, it ought to create in us a more thankful heart. But that's the same thing that's true with our brothers and sisters. When I'm away from you, I think of you. I'm thankful for you. But when I'm here with you, you see, that amps it up a little bit because I'm seeing you. I'm not just thinking about you I guess I could think about all of you like I am now, but the fact that I'm seeing you brings certain thoughts to my mind. And so I'm thankful for you because I'm thinking about you. And that's the way it is with Thanksgiving. That's why it's important for us when we do pray to offer those things, those praises and those thoughts of thanksgiving to God. I'm thankful for you as brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. We sometimes thank God for our health, or, as we say, the measure of health that He's given to us. And that's exactly what we should do because it comes from Him. I mean, the sustenance that He gives us and the measure of faith, I think, does come from Him. And being genuine about what we have is a good way to create more thanksgiving about what others do for us. And that's why it's important for us to think about God that way. You know, a forced thank you is meaningless. Isn't that interesting? You know, especially for children. give it back. You haven't said thank you, so give it back. And so they don't want to give it back. But if you're not going to say thank you, you're going to give that back. That's how we teach them. And so eventually what happens after about an hour and a half, you know, they go, thank you. This is barely... Because it's just something about the nature of kids that want to... Well, I shouldn't say all kids, because hopefully all kids aren't like that. But something about that, it's because you're asking them to do that. They don't want to do that. And so a forced or an ingenuine reply to that shows there's no real thanksgiving in your heart for that, by how they're reacting to that. And the same is true of us. We can offer praise and thanksgiving to God and thank God for all we've done, yet our lives reflect that that's not anywhere close to what's in our heart. I think most of us probably say it all the time. Most of us probably begin most prayers with some form of thanking God for what He's done for us. My guess is we always begin, I shouldn't say always, but most frequently we typically would say in a prayer for the food that we offer, Lord, we thank You for this meal. We thank You for this food, and may it nourish our bodies so that we might better serve You. I get all that. That's why we pray like that. But we're saying to God, by doing that, that we're thinking about Him and what He has done for us. So in that kind of prayer, we typically would pray specifically thanking Him for what He's done. But God doesn't want that forced. Sometimes we say things like, help us not to take our blessings for granted. And I think the reason we say that is because we sometimes take our blessings for granted. It's not that we don't, it's not that we think God hasn't done it today, but He's going to do it tomorrow. It's just that we're not thinking about Him. And so maybe the thing for us to do is when we're praying and when we're thinking about God, that we actually appreciate what He has done for us. And again, it's not that we don't, but I think sometimes we say that just because that's typically what we want to say. And I think we need to be careful about that, even in our prayers. You know, saying prayers and saying the same things in prayers. I had somebody tell me one time, talking about a particular person that prayed in public. And that person said, well, did you listen to his prayers? And his reaction was, he doesn't mean that. And I said, how do you know he doesn't mean that? Well, he says the same thing all the time. Well, how do you know he doesn't mean it? Because he says, well, maybe he likes what he says. Maybe what he says all the time is how he's expressing his heart to God. And she said, well, I hadn't really thought about that. And I said, well, maybe you need to think about that. I said, I can't read his heart. But you know, I think sometimes we're too harsh sometimes on people that offer prayers and typically say the same things. Maybe that's what's on it. Maybe that is a reflection of that they haven't given it maybe as much thought as they should. Or maybe that's genuinely what's coming out of their heart. But I think we ought to be careful about that. Because the words that I say, whether they be words that I frequently use or infrequently use, are words that are coming out of my mouth. And nobody can read my heart. So let's be careful that we don't question the motive of someone because that's what they do. But God always wants whatever we say and whatever we feel to be genuine and heartfelt. I want you tonight to just look at two quick passages. One's from the Old Testament, from 1 Chronicles 16. If you have a Bible, or please turn there. I just want to read about six or seven verses from 1 Chronicles 16. The Ark of the Covenant has been retrieved from the Philistines, and David has made ready for it. It's been placed where it belongs, where it should be. And David says we need to thank God for the fact that it's been returned. And so having said that, and having said that thanking God means thinking about God, I want to read, and I want you to follow, I want you to read these verses with me, beginning in verse 7 where it says, on that day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, to thank the Lord. And then notice the language. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Now, Here's what I want you to think about with that. It is a prayer of thank. He said in verse 1, to thank the Lord. That's the purpose of the prayer. And notice in these first verses that I've read where the prayer begins, notice what the concentration is. It's not just the statement of the Lord and the fact that the Lord's being discussed, but think about it, He's being discussed, and then here are things about Him that David says, I want you to remember. Look at it. Call upon His name. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. Make known His deeds among the people. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. Glory in His holy name. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. Remember His marvelous works which He has done. What are you doing? You're thinking about Him. This fits so well to me. It seems so well. You know, let's give thanks. Let's thank the Lord. And the way we do that is we think about Him. We think about Him in all of these ways. We can sing to Him. We think about His marvelous works. We can talk of all His wondrous works. We glory in His name and we seek Him. We pursue Him. We go after Him. That's the way you thank Him. And I love that statement because it just identifies, it defines what the very idea of thanksgiving is. It's thinking about what a person, in this case the Lord, has done for us. We do that all the time. When we come together, we may say it in the announcements. I may preach about it a lot, or we may sing about it in the song, but we do that a lot. And it must never, ever become common to us. Because we're thinking about what God has done in our lives. And when we think about that, then it will produce a heart of thanksgiving for us. I love those verses. It might be good for you to keep those in mind. And on Thursday, before you take 12 minutes to eat what's taken 12 hours or 24 hours to fix, might be a good opportunity for us to think about all the things that God has done for us. Turn over to Colossians, the first chapter. Let me ask you to do that. I want to look at another, what I think identifies some things about thanksgiving. Colossians 1. Let's begin in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, verse 12 says we need to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers. That's a very loaded, and I mean loaded in the sense of there's a lot there. God's qualified us. I think it's the same idea as He's elected us. He's made provisions for us. And that's the idea. If He's made provisions for anyone who chooses to accept His terms. But verse 13 says this is what He's done. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 13 is one verse. That's a one verse that explains a scheme of redemption. That's what He's done. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. That engulfs such a grand idea. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's one verse that pretty much says what the Bible's about. That's what He's done. And Paul says you need to thank God for that. And I think that's hard sometimes because the only ones who can really appreciate that are spiritually minded people. I say that a lot, but I think it's so true. That's why it's so necessary for us to become more spiritually minded. And the way we do that is we think about spiritual things. And if we're willing to do that, it'll make us more spiritually minded. Not just to be thankful for what God's given to us one day of the year, which I don't think any of us do. I think all of us thank God every day for what He's given to us. But when we're spiritually minded, we value those things. And And I thank you, God, for what you've done for me and with me. A thank you like that is something that I think God appreciates if it genuinely comes from our hearts. I want to read, as I close, I want to read something to you that I came across my desk. And I think it's good. It's a poem. I'm not a big poem guy, although I think in many cases it's valuable for us to hear things like this. This was written in 1896, and the lady who wrote this was a Quaker. It's called I Thank Thee. O thou whose bounty fills my cup with every blessing meet, I give thee thanks for every drop, the bitter and the sweet. I praise thee for the desert road and for the riverside, for all thy goodness hath bestowed and all thy grace denied. I thank thee for both smile and frown and for the gain and loss. I praise thee for the future crown and for the present cross. I thank thee for both wings of love which stirred my worldly nest and for the stormy clouds which drove me trembling to thy breast. I bless thee for the glad increase and for the waning joy and for this settled peace which nothing can destroy. We have so much for which to be thankful. And I hope that as Thursday approaches and as Thursday passes, you give the kind of thought to the God who makes it all possible and thank Him every day for what He's given to us. The best way that you can show your thanksgiving to Him is to obey Him, to honor Him by doing what He would ask you to do. The highest form of thanksgiving to God is to say, I'm going to do what you say, Lord. And if a person's willing to do that, he'll please God in the very fullest sense. And I hope that you'd like to do that tonight. We would encourage you to do that. We're going to sing a song to encourage you to do that. And if that's something that's on your heart and mind, we hope that you'll respond to the gospel. While together we stand and while we sing.